Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what happens when your battery falls out of your mic right before the service. Great to be with you all here this morning. The focus of our message today is our gospel reading from John, which is really the beginning of the spread of the good news in Jesus Christ. It's the beginning of Jesus and his ministry after he's been baptized by his cousin John in the Jordan River. And beginning with John's proclamation, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Beginning there, then the spread of that good news continues. Now, I want you to think this morning, when you think of a missionary, who is it that comes to mind? I mean, if I had to venture a guess, my guess is most of us would probably think of maybe one of three individuals or one of three families, because we've got close ties with a few international missionaries. You know, when I think of who is a missionary, I think of the Clausings, who are serving in Kenya. I think of the Thompsons, who were with us for a number of years while Pastor Sam was working on his doctorate at Concordia Seminary and now is back in India. I think of Sarah Harms, who is preparing to make her way over to the Czech Republic. Now, the funny thing is about these missionaries, and really any missionary, is that they were missionaries long before they got that official title. And here's what Paul, the Apostle Paul, has to say in the book of Romans about when they first became missionaries. He says this: "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And one feature of that newness of life that we have as baptized believers in Christ, one feature of that is that we have been called to be missionaries ourselves, to spread the good news that we've received. See, before our baptisms, we were lost, we were condemned, judged. But after our baptisms, it's there in that moment that God adopts us as his sons and daughters. And the good news about God's family is that God doesn't cap the number of kids that he adopts. He doesn't say, "I just want three or four or five." In Jesus, he says, "I'll take the whole lot." And that is the good news that you and I have to deliver. And we do this by being everyday missionaries. Now, this is important, and it's important for a very obvious reason. Here, at least in the United States, we've seen kind of this cultural sea change over the last decade, two decades, however far back you want to go. And you can cite a number of different surveys. They all say essentially the same thing, that there has been a shocking amount of people who were formerly connected in with the body of Christ through local congregations who have walked away and simply not come back. And we look at younger generations. Something like 10% of people 30 years and younger now are connected in with a local congregation. The trust in churches is at an all-time low. Now, you can hear all of these stats and begin to ponder, you know, what is it that has caused that sea change in our culture here in America? And there are a whole bunch of different answers that you can give for it. But the best answer I found was given by another Lutheran pastor named Greg Finke. His answer is simply this: the river moved. Now, this is, by way of analogy, what he says in terms of what we've experienced here in the United States. If you had traveled to Honduras just after 1998, and you'd gone to the Chalyuteca River Valley, you would have seen something, a really weird sight. And I'll post the picture later today on my Facebook if you want to see it. What you would have seen if you traveled to Honduras in the Chalyuteca River Valley right after 1998, you would have seen this perfectly good bridge sitting right next to a river. Now, we got plenty of bridges out here. We know rivers are supposed to go underneath bridges, but what you saw here was the Chalyuteca Bridge, the state-of-the-art bridge that was built by this Japanese firm with a river right next to it. It looks, as you see it in a picture from 1998, it looks for all the world like a giant dropped a bridge down, but was about 100 feet off. It's the weirdest thing in the world. And what happened was in October of 1998, Hurricane Mitch came through. And in a short period of time, that storm dropped something like 75 inches of rain, like 6 feet, in the mountains around Choluteca. And all of that water, you know, came down, funneled into the river with enough force that the course of the river itself changed. Now, bridge wasn't built in the wrong spot. The river just moved. And when you think of the church today, I think that's probably one of the best analogies I've seen for what has happened. You think of the church as the bridge spanning the culture. The river is the culture, but what happened is the culture's moved. Now, it used to be that one of the first things that was built in a new location, when a new community was established, was a church. We see these historic churches just in St. Charles. When families would move from one area to another, one of the first things that families would do when they got to a new area, they would go find a new church, a new gathering of believers to become a part of. That doesn't really happen anymore. And we've seen these changes, and what's happened is simply the culture has changed around us. And there are two ways, of course, to look at this in any kind of situation. You can see it pessimistically or optimistically. You can look at it pessimistically and just say, you know, take the attitude, woe is me, or the sky is falling. We could wait for the river of the culture to move back to us. Or you can see it optimistically. You can see this as an opportunity, and it is an incredible opportunity to understand who we are as Christians, as missionaries, as much as the Clausings and the Thompsons and Sarah Harms. We have this incredible opportunity that's been given to us by God. See, while cultures may change, at our heart, at our core, people don't. I mean, the things that we need, our deepest desires, those things don't really change. And we all want to be loved. We desire connections with the people around us. We desire connections with God. And as adopted sons and daughters, we're uniquely equipped to share these things with those we meet. And as John's gospel unfolds, what we get here in these opening chapters is a picture of what it looks like to really be an everyday missionary, to consider ourselves that way. Now we see what we see here is really the start of the church, where John proclaims, "Behold the Lamb of God," and two of his disciples, two of his students, they hear that and they begin to follow Jesus. And one of those guys, Andrew, then goes and finds his brother, Cephas, Simon. And he says, "Look, we found the Messiah." And then Simon, too, begins to follow him. It gives us a beautiful picture of what it means to be an everyday missionary. But if I were to ask for a show of hands, and I won't this morning, how many people would be excited to be considered an evangelist or a missionary? More than likely, not a whole lot of people are going to be raising their hands or jumping up and down at that. And I think part of that is because we've gotten these caricatures of what it means to be a missionary, or what it looks like to share our faith with others. The bad caricatures that kind of scare us out of doing that. So one of those false caricatures that I think we've gotten is we think of an everyday missionary, we think of, you know, that guy that stands outside of Busch Stadium or other big public events with the cardboard signs and the megaphone hollering at people as they walk by. And we think, I don't want any part of that if that's what evangelizing is all about. Or another caricature is the door-to-door missionary. You know, we've all seen it. We've had it happen where one or two or maybe three individuals show up unannounced and uninvited and feels like we're being sold something. Well, we say, I don't want any part of that if that's what it's all about. Or worse yet, are the people we've met who seem to have an answer for every problem or a ready Bible verse when something's going wrong, and yet the rest of the time they don't seem to have much of a care in the world. Or they give those Bible verses, that helpful advice out, but don't ever stop to really listen to the problem and the struggle that's actually going on. You know, the one thing that all three of those bad caricatures have in common is that there's no real relationship between the person that's sharing Jesus and the person on the receiving end. See, being an everyday missionary, it's not about being pushy. It's not about having all the right answers. It's about sharing the good news in Jesus that you've heard with those who are closest to you. And that's the pattern that we see here as the ministry of Jesus begins to unfold. One friend tells another, who tells another, who tells another. See, being an everyday missionary starts with the people that God has already placed in your lives. For most of us, the idea of going up to a complete stranger and starting a conversation is terrifying. At least for me, I'm one of those. It's easy enough to start up a conversation about the things that don't really matter. You know, I can walk into the bank today and start up a conversation about our ice-pocalypse here that we've had over the last 3 days, or, you know, what's gone on in the NFL over the weekend, those sort of things. That's easy enough. But asking someone to start up a deep conversation about the things that matter the most to you, your faith in God and what he's done for you, now that's a whole other story. But those conversations are so much easier. Not easy probably any time, but they're easier when they're people with whom we already have a relationship with. Starts with telling these things to our kids. Starts with sharing this with our family, their parents, our relatives, our aunts and uncles, our cousins, our friends, the coworkers, those who we've gotten to know over the years. The people that we have that relationship with. Because at its core, the message that God has entrusted to us, it's as powerful today as it was 2,000 years ago. I mean, we live in a culture that cheers the idea of redemption. We have a case where people are intrigued by those who exhibit love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and self-control. You know, these things that we call the fruits of the Spirit. We live in an age where, relativity seems to be the order of the day. You know, we hear people say, what's true for me may not be true for you. And because of that, people are yearning for the truth. People are yearning for a simple answer. And as followers of Jesus Christ, we have this opportunity to share the love of God, this love that we have received. Because more than any other time, people are looking, desperately wondering, is relationship with the loving God possible? These are all things that we can do, and this is who we've been called to be as everyday missionaries. In Jesus' name. Amen.